welcome to a special edition of the Post podcast. Well, it's been 2 years in the planning, and this weekend Pope Francis will arrive in Ireland. It's been nearly 40 years since we last had a papal visit. But can Pope Francis rekindle Catholicism in Ireland, which has been in decline over recent years? And can he use the visit to finally get a handle on the legacy of abuse that has almost come to define the church that he leads? To discuss this, I'm joined by our political editor, Michael Brennan. Michael, I wasn't around last time the Pope visited Ireland, and I don't think you were either. Maybe in some sense we are what's described as the Pope's children. But back then, Pope John Paul came to a country where 92% of people were going to Mass every week, where the church had a strong influence in every aspect of Irish life, right down from, you know, people's homes to villages to government buildings. What sort of country will Pope Francis be visiting this time, and how different is it to the one that Pope John Paul visited in 1979?
I should say, Mary, you're right, certainly, that I wasn't alive when the last Pope visited here, but my second name is Paul, so I'm part, as you mentioned, of that generation of Pope's children.
Pope John Paul the...
Yes, exactly. This generation has grown up and is now effectively the adult generation with their own families and children for Pope Francis' visit. It's a very different country, a much wealthier country than Ireland was in 1979, a much less violent country. Pope John Paul II appealed for the men of violence in the north to stop. Thankfully, with the peace process and the Good Friday Agreement, that has largely happened, although there's still problems to be resolved. But then there wasn't the whole issue of abuse had not materialised when he visited. Now that Pope Francis is coming, nearly 40 years on, we've had a series of scandals. The church's moral authority has been undermined. And there isn't, I think, that national certainty about his visit that you had back in 1979, as you described well last week. And I think there was one interesting point you made separately talking to the Primate of All Ireland, Archbishop Eamon Martin, where he thought the Catholic Church now will have a role as a minority voice in Ireland. And that is such a change. And I thought that was a really interesting point to make.
Yeah, and Archbishop Eamon Martin did say that the church has a place as a minority voice. But he said in many ways that was a more healthier environment, or a better environment for the church to operate in, rather than the sort of dominant church that it was in the past. Another point that I wrote about last weekend is, while it appeared during Pope John Paul's visit that this was the high point of Catholicism in Ireland, that it was in many respects the dawn of a bright new, you know, golden era for Catholicism, in many ways, changes were already taking place in Irish society by the time he arrived here. Minorities who previously had to stay quiet, maybe for fear of the church, were becoming more vocal. For example, David Norris had just established the Irish gay rights movement at the time, and the Supreme Court had ruled on laws prohibiting contraception, that they were unconstitutional. So that was all sort of happening in the context of when Pope John Paul came here. And he did say that Ireland was at a crossroads, and he said, you know, you have as a country a choice to make, a crossroads between one deeply rooted in your Christian past or you know, a future of individualism. So I think at the time he was aware himself that we were on the cusp of change. But in many ways, a lot of that change happened as a result of the revelations of abuse and the scandals that became associated with the church, particularly in the 1990s. I think the four reports on clerical abuse, Ferns, the Ryan report, the Murphy report and the Cloyne report, sort of put the nail in the coffin on the dominant church culture in Ireland at the time. But this is an opportunity really for Pope Francis to deal with all those issues, isn't it?
It is. And you can see there is a commitment he has given that he will meet privately with victims of abuse. And he simply had to do that because, you know, there are still so many people out hurt from their experiences at the hands of people in the church. You have even a rival event being set up by Colm O'Gorman, who was an abuse victim himself and went on to found One in Four and lead Amnesty International. He's holding effectively a rival gathering to the papal mass on Sunday at 3 o'clock. But I think what the Catholic Church will be hoping for from this visit is not probably a grand transformation where it returns to those 92% mass attendances. That's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. What they will be looking for is effectively some kind of safe space where they can be accepted as part of the fabric of society, but just one single part, not that dominant, all-powerful, all-conquering, I suppose, ideology that was there before. Because you can see in some of the commentary, there's a sort of a thing of a plague in all the churches' houses that Pope Francis would be better off not coming at all, and why does Ireland just not abandon every bit of religious heritage it's got? And I think there's a strain of intolerance there in some of the commentary coming up to his visit. And I think you're going to have potentially 500,000 people involved in some shape or form, be it in the mass in the Phoenix Park or his visit to Knock Shrine in Mayo. And there has to be, I think, a recognition. You don't replace the intolerance of the past with the intolerance of the present, that, you know, in any sort of multicultural liberal society, there has to be that tolerance for people. And I think the visit may help society to sort of address that of where it stands now and how it deals with those issues.
Yeah, maybe it's a sort of the best thing we can hope for this visit is that it may lead to some sort of more comfortable accommodation between the church and practicing Catholics and those who have very strong feelings against the church. Just picking up on your point, Father Joe MacDonald, who's a parish priest out in Ballyfermot, in a piece I was writing for the Sunday Business Post last weekend, said that he feels now that there is an intolerance for Catholic voices in Ireland. And he said that he pointed out some government ministers, and he said, while we have a very vibrant young cabinet doing a great job, he said that there was a time when the populist thing to do was to not speak out against the church, but now there's almost a populism in speaking against the church. He said it's the easiest thing in the world to do is to give the church a good kicking, and he said that's unfair on many practicing Catholics. But for all the talk of the demise of the church here, we're still going to have 500,000 people turning up to the Phoenix Park for Mass on Sunday, and it's nothing like the 1.5 million who were there in 1979, but it's still a pretty big crowd. What kind of planning is underway for this, do you know?
Well, it's been ongoing for about 2 years, ever since this World Meeting of Families was confirmed for Dublin. That's sort of the centrepiece, where they're obviously, that's ongoing right as we speak. There's going to be a big concert in Croke Park on Saturday evening with the likes of Daniel O'Donnell and Nathan Carter and other musical acts, with Pope Francis speaking at that himself. He'll be going to the streets of Dublin on Saturday in his Pope Mobile, which is, I suppose, harking back to Pope John Paul's previous visit. There'll be a visit to the Capuchin Day Centre in Dublin's North Inner City. They're very famous for giving meals to 800 or 900 homeless people and people who are in severe poverty every single day. And that ties in, I suppose, his theme of reaching out to people who are on the margins of society. So that will be quite a significant part of the visit. And then, as we referred to earlier, on Sunday, he'll fly down from Dublin to Knock Airport in Mayo, famously built by Monsignor James Horan back in the mid-80s, despite much government opposition. And he will be there in Knock Shrine for a ceremony, and then he'll fly back up to Dublin and go to the Papal Mass in the Phoenix Park, which is the big centrepiece of the whole visit.
Yeah, I think in many ways this visit will give practicing Catholics in Ireland a good news story, which they probably feel that they really need after the years of scandals and difficulties for the church. But ultimately, I think, you know, what this visit will be remembered for is how Pope Francis addresses the issue of abuse. And, you know, as we discussed, these reports, you know, have exposed, you know, apart from cruelty and crime, they also revealed issues, you know, around betrayal of trust, a lack of accountability and attempted cover-ups. Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, was speaking, and he pointed to mandatory disclosure that exists in Irish laws, and he's saying that maybe canon law can adopt this, that, you know, there will be an obligation on priests or bishops to reveal anything they know about abuse. There's also some talk from survivors organisations calling on the Pope to give a commitment to release many files that existed on abuse, files going back to the 1960s. So there will be a lot of pressure, I think, on the Pope to deal with these issues when he arrives here, because without that, I think any words or apology or meeting that he has with survivors might ring hollow. But as we said, hopefully a good news story for many Catholics around the country.
Yeah, it's a chance for maybe a different chapter of the story. But you're right also in saying that, you know, there's an impatience among Catholics and non-Catholics for, I suppose, a decisive signal from the Catholic Church that they're willing to face up to the decades of abuse scandals and sort of say, look, canon law can be adapted, it can be changed to reflect the way society is today, and that the institution is not to be protected. It's the people and society that will be, and especially children instead. Francis obviously released his speech this week where he condemned clericalism, where he again bemoaned and condemned the abuses that had happened in the past. But people are looking for concrete actions from him. I would be very surprised if you hear some of those sort of announcements during this visit, because the church move thinks in terms of centuries rather than days, months or years. The attitude is, well, we've been around here for 2,000 years and we've survived. The only issue for them is things are changing pretty quickly, and they need to deal with you know, warnings from people within the church that it needs to change. And you mentioned your piece even about the role of women being the biggest single problem in the church, and that's apart from all the abuse scandals. Like, in the current society, as long as the church continues to effectively marginalise the role of women who keep it going in so many ways, then that is a massive problem for it. And if they don't act soon, it won't be about, you know, can you get more numbers in? It will be just purely about survival.
Yes, and of course, all the social changes throughout the years, 100 years ago since women got suffrage rights, and also the changes to the rights of women, particularly throughout the 1970s. And in many ways, the church didn't change along with the rest of society on that. Well, he'll be here for just 36 hours, so he's not going to solve all its problems that have been decades in the making. But that is all we have time for now on the Pope's visit to Ireland.